Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us here in hour number seven, head coach of your Wisconsin Badger basketball team, Greg Gahr. Good morning, Greg. How are you? Good afternoon, Greg. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great. It's off season, or at least it's off season for us as fans, anyway.
Right.
I don't know if you ever have an off season. Is it? Is this a slower time for you?
Not typically. I mean, obviously there's not games going on, but we're back in the gym doing individual workouts and on the road a little bit recruiting here, starting over the weekend and over the next couple of weeks. So no, there isn't. There's always something to do. Usually May and August slow it down a little bit more than normal.
Will you be, where would you be traveling to recruit without, I don't know,
giving up any secrets?
Giving up any secret formula.
Yeah. There's 2 weekends of national AAU events that are coming up in the last 2 weekends of April. So those are the two main weekends, Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday, that we will be on the road and trying to find future Badgers. So looking forward to that, and it'll be here soon enough.
Any hot prospects in Cobb?
Boy, if there is, I better know about them, right?
Yeah,
because you are the number one son of Cobb. It's
you got to be the most famous person from Cobb, Wisconsin. I'm
not sure. I haven't seen a list of residents, but.
We have quite a while here.
I have examined some figures. There's only 458 people that live there.
It's much bigger than when I left. So it's
bigger now than when you left. So it was what, 200 people when you?
It was in the low threes, I think, when I left, and it's now creeped into the 400s.
And so if you go back to Cobb, and you stopped at any corner and looked around and said, wow.
There's not many corners.
Yeah, well, the one corner, I don't remember. How many corners are there?
Oh, maybe six.
When was the last time you were in Cobb, Wisconsin?
Last time.
Is there any family? Do you have any reunions?
Yeah, my mom still lives there.
Okay. Yep.
There's an annual festival.
There is. Yeah.
Well,
2 years ago,
okay.
They hold on. The street after us
with a town named Cobb.
Yes.
Cobb. Mm-hmm. What do you suppose they celebrate there?
I don't mean to sound stupid in front of the coach here, but I'm going to say corn on
It's the Cobb corn boil.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, okay. I've never been to this, Greg. Can you walk me through it? Is it like a dollar an ear or 50 cents an ear?
They actually gave it free with when you buy the barbecue chicken dinner. At least they used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you sound like you're on. You sound like you work in Cobb, and you're very good at promoting it. The corn is free.
Hey, it's a great place to go. If you haven't been there, you need to get there sometime soon.
I'm reading about the Cobb corn roast, and you know, for a town with only 458 people, you've got car shows and bands and stuff.
Oh, it's a big weekend production.
Yeah,
yeah, it's right up there with all the best festivals that you can think of.
Have you been asked to be like the grand marshal?
I was 2 years ago, and then like I mentioned earlier, they named they surprised me and named a street.
Is it
after they named it Guard Way?
Guard Way.
Yeah, it was a dead end, but
come on, are you serious?
Seriously, no, it is, but it's but it was in honor. It was shortly after my obviously I'd gone through the first year here and. My father had passed away from cancer, and so they did a little recognition for him and donated some money to a charity in his honor, and then did the street naming, which kind of they surprised me. They got me there without me knowing, and I knew I was going to be the grand marshal in the parade, and I thought I was going there to receive the donation for the from them on behalf of my dad, and they. They got me good that day.
What time of the year is this? I don't even
August.
See it.
August.
I'm going to go to this. I'm going to go to the Cobb corn boil.
You're on the hook now.
In August.
Now you have to
I'm
go.
I'm going.
All right. All right. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Sunday's the day to get the barbecue chicken and the corn.
So okay.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to show up on Friday night or Saturday or Sunday's the main
day. Hey, where's the party?
It's oh, Sunday.
Be a party there.
Right.
Be a party there.
Right.
It just, they don't have corn or chicken on those 2 days.
No.
All right. What was the street name before it was Guard Way? Do you know?
Great question.
Is it paved?
I mean, it's Motel Street. I think it was Motel
Street. Motel Street.
Street.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The motel's closed and it's a dead end. So.
All right. But it's the thought that counts.
You have on it anyway.
That's not bad for a kid who grew up in Cobb to get a street named after you. I can't imagine there's a lot of people who have that.
No, I'm sure there probably isn't.
But, you know,
no, that was a great thing for our family that day.
I never played college basketball or had the success that you and your guys have had at Wisconsin. But what is the longest I would go if I was one of your players? What's the longest I'm going to go without seeing you? At some point, a week, 2 weeks, a day?
Yeah, it depends on the time of year.
Okay.
You know, right after the season, I gave them 2 weeks off, so they probably didn't want to see me, and maybe I didn't want to see them either, but no, they were, it depends on the, like right now, it's almost every day, if not, 3 days a week in our workouts and when they're around lifting and doing those types of things. So obviously during the season, it's every day.
Okay.
There'll be a time when they go away here when we finish finals here in another month that they'll get 4 weeks away. So I won't see them during that time unless they're coming back working out on their own on campus. So they need some space in their time, and I try not to hover and
you try not to hover. That's what people who hover say. I'm trying not to hover, like, but
yeah, I give them their space and check in on them when I can, and they pop up and see me every now and then too. So it's good.
Okay, so you said after the season was over for a couple of weeks, you just all kind of go your own separate ways. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. What do you do in that time? Is that time for you to decompress, to get reacquainted with your family, to just be out of basketball for a while, or what's the deal?
No, it was more we were on the road recruiting right away because the Big Ten tournament took place so early, we were able to catch a lot of high school tournaments and different things going on that normally, would have completed by the time we would have gotten even done with the Big Ten tournament. So we had that access to those that we were able to do, and then obviously some reviewing of film, some things of how we wanted to approach the off season. I brought them in for individual meetings relatively soon after the season was over, so we could really kind of review the year and prepare for what was going to be next. So it hasn't been a whole lot of downtime since the end of the year. I'll probably get to more of that personally away from basketball once we get into May.
When you talk about downtime with players and decompressing, so when will you take a vacation? When will you step away from basketball? No recruiting, no calls from players, no talking to assistant coaches, blah, blah, blah.
There'll be some time in May.
Okay.
That'll be when May and August usually are the typically we, when finals are done and guys have left campus, and that window before they come back for the summer, and then the same thing in early August. After they're done with summer school and we're done with our summer conditioning and workouts, they'll get another 3.5 to 4 weeks at home before we ramp it up again in the fall.
So what is that like for you? A big couch, a lot of movies, brick of cheese?
No, we do a little – we travel if we can. We try to hit northern Wisconsin as much as we can. Got a place up there that I love to get to, so – see if I can trick any fish into biting my hook.
Hey, yeah. Greg, I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't already know, but northern Wisconsin in May can be a little rough yet.
Oh, I know. I try to go there in April at times, too, and I have to walk through a lot of snow to our place. So,
Any particular kind of fish you're after? Are you a musky man? Or
I've never done much of the musky stuff. I've seen a lot of guys do it, but I've never intentionally tried to fish for muskies. It's mostly panfish and walleyes and bass.
Do you fish because you love it, or you fish because it's, I don't have to think too much while I'm out here and it's quiet and I'm away from everything?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
If they're biting, I love it. And if they're not, then I'm away from everything else.
Are you a catch and release, or do you bring them home and cook them up?
Depends how big they are. My kids are always trying to convince me to keep them. I don't want to clean them most of the time, so
they
I convince them that they're not big enough.
Keep them as a pet, or keep them and just...
No, keep them like they...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. until we get to the dock, then they want nothing to do with them.
Well, it's,
you know,
yeah.
You know how it is.
Sure.
It's like having a pet. They love them when they're a puppy, and then that novelty wears off.
Okay, here we go. Here's the dad thing coming out. Yeah, right.
Do you have a puppy or a dog around the house?
We do. Yes,
do you?
We do.
Is it a comfort dog for you at sometimes?
I wouldn't say comfort dog. It's another escape for me when I can.
Okay.
It's a hunting dog, so
yeah,
it's one of my other sidebar passions that I like to hunt. So when I can do that, I take him and we go do our thing. So, but yeah, the novelty of that, you know, they were all excited to get him 2 years ago, and he's not quite two.
No, no one knows who he is.
Kid's pet to dad's got to take care of it.
All right. Yeah. What is there any chance that I could be driving by the guardhouse one night and go, see that guy picking up the dog crap with that bag on his hand? He's the head coach of the Badger basketball team. Huh?
Been there, done that.
Have you?
Dogs,
okay, so,
dogs of us all.
So you're a real dog owner then. You go out and clean up the dog poop.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Ethan Happ declared for the draft. He doesn't have an agent yet, which means he can back out of it.
Right.
What can do you have any thoughts on that, or can you even talk about it? I don't know what the rules are.
What do you want to know about it? Thoughts?
I want your thoughts, yeah.
Well,
I
think it's, you know, obviously you think of it, there's two viewpoints. You can look from a selfish Badger fans aspect and say, man, we don't want him to leave.
That's it right there.
Or you can look at it from a career and an experience and what's best for the kid in terms of his future aspect and viewpoint and say, hey, you know what? They changed the rule 2 years ago where they allow underclassmen to enter without an agent and get feedback. And I think that's the best thing from a standpoint. When they established this rule, we don't have to worry about hearsay and third-party information and all the people trying to run interference to pass on what they think is the right information to these kids and convince them to go or stay. We can actually talk to NBA teams. There's actually a process and a committee that evaluates and gives some advice to the underclassmen that we're going through that process with Ethan as well. And then obviously they, as he did earlier this week, he decided to declare without an agent. So he will be allowed now to work out for teams once they get to that window when they can do that in later April and potentially get invited to the combine that's in mid to late May.
I'm never going to understand why they have you come in and work out, because they've seen your body of work. He's not a stranger. He's, you know, they can go watch old games and they've seen him throughout the season. They can look at his numbers. What are they looking for when they have you come in and work out?
Well, they'll put him through individual work. They'll put him through shooting drills, ball handling drills, agility type of things, trying to measure athleticism. Length, you know, they'll test a lot of those things if he goes to the combine. Physical reach, you always see the wingspan and reach and vertical jump and bench press and all those things, shuttle run or a lot of agility type measurements they're trying to gauge. But then also in those workouts, they'll have them, in addition to just individual shooting, they can have up to six players in at a time. So they'll play some one-on-one, some three-on-three, and kind of size guys up. And if they're looking at three or four guys at one position, they get a chance to compare and contrast and have them right there next to each other going at each other. So it's just an evaluation tool for the NBA teams, and it's also an evaluation tool and a knowledge-seeking tool for players to be able to get feedback where, hey, here's where we project you. We think you should go back. Here's what you need to work on. You know, we'll be able to get, like I said, directly. When Nigel went through it 2 years ago, I talked to all 32 NBA teams. And not all, obviously all of them worked him out, but I was able to get feedback basically weekly. I talked to multiple teams weekly as they went through that whole process and were able to, you know, gather all the information we can. And then when we get to the end of it, when it comes time to appoint to either stay in or get out, you have accumulated all that information and can help that individual make the best decision for them.
When you're talking to all 32 teams, do you feel like it's Groundhog Day, or are the conversations
it's got to be the same conversation over and over again?
By and large, you're getting pretty much the same information. There may be one or two that'll maybe deviate a little bit or differ in opinion, but by and large, a lot of NBA teams, they're sharing information. There's not a lot of secrets. They're sharing information anyway.
When he comes to you and he talks to you, he says, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, dipping my toe in the water for the draft. He's not talking to just you. He's talking to other guys he's played with who have gone on to the NBA too, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're going to get all the information you can.
Yeah, you know, former teammates, whether it's Sam and Frank, that are there. And obviously Nigel just got signed to the rest of the year and a multi-year deal with Sacramento. So, you know, Bronson's in the G League. Vito Brown's in the G League. That season is now, I think, over. Bronson was in the playoffs. But they definitely talked to those guys and, you know, get their experiences, what it was like for them, what they did that they wish they wouldn't have done, what they didn't do that they wish they would have. So it's good to have people at that level that they can, that the players can bounce the information off of as well. And we're obviously able to go to the front office and the scouts and the GMs and the decision makers and also get their information as well.
Did you feel during the season like you were snake bit at all with injuries and things not really breaking your way? Or did you just go, well, it's just one of those seasons where this happens and it happens to be happening to us this year?
Well, I knew it was going to be a very transitional year anyway with five, you know, we had four, the seniors, Brown, Showalter, Hayes, and Koenig, that were done with their eligibility. Jordan Hill decided to go back to the West Coast and play his fifth year there. So five guys that graduated and were a big part of what we had done here the last 2 years, there was going to be a lot of new faces on the block. And by and large, Ethan was going to be the only one that came back with significant experience. So there was going to be some transition anyway, just learning new roles, new faces. Experience is always your best teacher. It can be a painful teacher at times and not a fun teacher or an experience to go through. But I knew we were going to have some growing pains. The injuries added to that immensely, probably more, and specifically in the positions we had them happen in. They basically both happened in the same position or in the backcourt, and we were not in a position to be able to absorb that with experience, you know, like we maybe can. We've always been old. You know, that's been one of our secret recipes here is get old and stay old, just like Villanova's done. You know, redshirt some guys, and we've had a gap there where there weren't any seniors in our rotation this year for the first time in a long time, and also had an inordinate amount of freshmen in the rotation that hadn't happened since really Mike Kelly and Andy Kowski and those guys were freshmen. So that I knew it was going to be challenging. Plus, you add in the schedule we played.
You had a long year. I mean, you were down in New Zealand and Australia playing basketball last summer,
which I think helped us early. But then, like I said, when the injuries hit to Kobe and Dimitrik, we almost had to start over, specifically in the backcourt, how we were going to build it and how we were going to manage minutes and positions changed and roles changed. When we were trying to go down one road with developing a rotation, and we quickly had to change and back up and kind of almost start over from an aspect specifically in the backcourt. So I was really proud of the guys of how they persevered, because it had been very easy to wave the white flag and say, hey, it's just not our year. We are snake bitten, or we're going through so much that we have a hard time overcoming it. But they stayed persistent. They fought through it. I thought we got pretty good at the end. I thought we were, you know, normally we're always a team, whether it's individually or collectively as a team, that matures and improves as the year goes on. And I think we were a month later coming out of the nest than normal. You know, if we would have kind of been able to turn and do what we did in the last 3 weeks, you know, 4 weeks earlier, I think we, you know, were in a similar position of playing in the postseason. So, and I think it's just you look back at, as you step back and take a view from 30,000 feet, 19 straight years in the NCAA tournament is a heck of an accomplishment. And that's a credit to the players and the coaches that have been here through that time. And, you know, we just had, you know, we didn't develop at the speed that we needed to, given where we were from an experience standpoint, and had a few things that we couldn't quite accomplish. So it's all part of learning. You learn from it, and you make the necessary adjustments and get healthy and get ready to start another streak.
Hey, Coach, before we let you go, I this is always a question that I have a tough time with. Michigan was in the championship this year against Villanova. They lost, obviously. I never know, as a Big Ten fan, am I supposed to be rooting for the teams in our division to do well in the tournament, or am I supposed to keep my hatred for them going no matter what and always wish them the worst?
Well, I think when you get in the postseason, I've always taken the viewpoint, even though if you have rivalries or different dislikes, maybe as a fan, that once you get to postseason, you're all representing the same entourage, so to speak. in league play. So, or
because you've heard it where they say, well, the Big Ten has like eight teams in. That's way too many. The Big Ten's not that good. And then they go, well, look what the Big Ten did in the first round. They lost. But if, you know, if they win, you can go, well, now you can shut up about the Big Ten because how many teams do we have in the final 16 or whatever, you know, the Sweet 16.
Right. Yeah, so. Everybody thought from the outside that this was a down year in the Big Ten. I think what we had was maybe not a dominant team consistently, but we only ended up with four in the tournament, but we ended up two in the Sweet 16 and one in the championship game. So, you know,
I've always kind of continued hating.
Stop. I love your honesty.
Oh, yeah.
That being said, were you rooting for Michigan?
I was.
Were you?
I was, yes. I think just, you know, John Beilein's, you know, he's the older coaches in the league have done, or the more experienced coaches in the league have done a terrific job and been very respectful of my transition and how they've treated me. And John's one of the guys that kind of has at different times put me, so to speak, under his wing a little bit and kind of given some fatherly more experienced advice, things that he's gone through. He's gone through something almost identical to what we went through this year, 4 or 5 years ago. He talked to me about it as we were going through the injuries and the struggles and how eventually it's all going to pay off and you're going to be fine. So I appreciate those guys that go out of their way to try to help and share their experiences. And John's one of the guys in the league, along with a few others that have been very gracious in terms of how they've we got to look out for each other. You got to try to help each other. And hopefully one day I'm in that position where I've got, I'm on the other end of the spectrum, so to speak, where I can help younger coaches and talk about the things that I've gone through and try to help people like guys have helped me.
All right, Coach. All right. Well, thanks
Cobb Corn Boil, August 8th to the 12th. On their Facebook page. We'll see you out there, Coach.
I appreciate all you guys are doing for the Mac Fund with this radiothon. And, I mean, it's obviously you, in my position, having gone through it personally, I know the Mac Fund deals with childhood cancer, and I've been very fortunate that my kids have all been healthy, but I've watched other kids go through some really tough times, and obviously with my dad and his battle with cancer, and we weren't able to come out on the right side of that one, unfortunately, but really can't say enough about how you guys are able to help out and how appreciative we are as residents of the state and what the Mac Fund does for people in the state and obviously the nation too, but you know, John Kerry and all his people have done an unbelievable job of, and we're really proud of and so appreciative of what you guys do to help this.
Well, thanks for lending a hand, because if people had to listen to us for 2 days solid, I mean, really.
Like, can't you talk to somebody else? Isn't Greg Gard available somewhere?
Thank you,
well,
Coach.
Well, if you need me on again, if you need to fill another 15 minutes, just let me know.
All right, Coach, thanks for the time. Coach. We appreciate it.
Hey, you bet.
No problem. All right,
thanks.
Take care. Guys. Greg Gard, head coach of the Wisconsin Badger basketball team. It's